Thanks for listening to another episode of How Good Is Rugby League?
We're stoked to be back for season 5, and this year we're coming back bigger and better than ever.
That's right, Michael. You've been busy over the off-season. We're now on Instagram, X, YouTube, and TikTok. And of course, you can listen to us on all podcasting platforms.
Now it's time for another episode of How Good Is Rugby League?
Hello, footy fans, and welcome to another episode of How Good Is Rugby League? My name is Emmanuel Penklis. Joining me from his Bondi bunker, Michael Corbin. Michael?
Yes, this bunker has made some questionable decisions of late, but not as questionable as the NRL bunker. Great weekend of sport, Emmanuel. Lots of rugby league, men's and women's college basketball finals. Caitlin Clark, shout out. Awesome career. WrestleMania happened over the weekend as well. That's where a lot of my time was spent. We've got WrestleMania coming up this weekend as well. So the festivities continue. But huge amounts to talk about, Emmanuel. And why don't we get straight into it?
Yeah, WrestleMania. Isn't that what they called Melbourne Storm in 2010? That's all they did, wasn't it? Yes, and we're going to commence this podcast by officially declaring it a South Sydney free zone. We're not going to talk about them. We're not going to speak about them. I don't even know who they are right now. So we're just going to leave them to one side. Michael, it's a point scoring frenzy.
A lot of points
in a lot of games of rugby league. That Storm Broncos game on the weekend, it was a great one for the highlight reel. Mr. Volandis, take those two teams to Vegas and get them to replay that game. But what the hell happened to defense?
The rules happened to defense. We normally start with how good, but since we're here, why don't we start with the how bad of the week? And it is defense across the board, because the amount of points that were scored this weekend in every game was insane. It's just a points frenzy. There's barely any defense being played. It just seems too easy to score at this point of the season. And it's a stark contrast to round one where there was no points, and now it just seems like nothing can be stopped.
Yeah, it did make for some entertaining football. Ezra Mam, absolutely electric. But I did feel like we were watching a game of touch football there. I don't know what it is. Just teams just don't want to tackle. Is it too hard? Is the game too fast, Mike? Is that possible?
Possible. I think that, you know, there's definitely talks about the kickoff being changed just to limit those big collisions. Removing the kickoff altogether is a possibility. But yeah, maybe, I don't know. Just I think that defenders have to make, and I said this last year on the podcast, the defenders have to make so many split-second decisions, and it's either going to, like, a lot of the times it will lead to a try being scored or a player getting injured. James Tedesco, Exhibit A. He made the decision to go and put a body on Viliami Kikau running off a line break, and it's going to cost him this week. It might cost him longer, cost him his 10th concussion of his career, but the rules that are in place at the moment are so favorable to attackers and defenders just have to make too many decisions in too short a time that a lot of the times it leads to misreads and lack of tackling.
Yeah, 100%. And like, you know, Tedesco's the case in point. There is no easy way. And it was almost a simultaneous to what happened with him and Sivo was in 2022 where he was concussed. The same corner of the field, it always seems to be in the same circumstance. He's the man is coming front on and Teddy's coming across in cover. And there's just Billy Slater, I think, you know, one of the great fullbacks of the modern era, if not the greatest, was talking about how hard it is in those situations. And, you know, the game has left him with little choice. Slater was famously almost rubbed out of the grand final. With a shoulder charge pretty much because there's very few ways that you could make a tackle on someone coming at you that fast. Now, Viliami Kikau
Kikau dropped his shoulder into James Tedesco's head. Like, what can he do there? Like, yeah. There's that. That's it's in the rules. There's no problem with it. But it was if it was the other way around, it's a send off, pretty much.
Yeah, you know, it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And the other thing I think while we're on this with defense and stuff like that, I think we're already seeing a bit around depth, and it's something that we're really. The Roosters have an incredible roster, right? Like they have a lot of good cover in good positions, and you know this week you guys are stretched, and despite the incredible roster that you have, but then you're looking at a team like Parramatta that doesn't even have a backup halfback, partly to their own detriment because the fans spent so much time complaining about Jacob Arthur last year that they moved him on, and now they're scratching at the surface to try and find someone to fill that void. Now, I know,
have someone to fill that void. They're just stupid, but we'll get to them.
Yeah, but I think that we have spoken about this a lot, that the injury toll at this point in the year is incredible. Penrith, another one that have the benefit of depth, but again, struggling. And, you know, sort of as a team that has had such a big roster but is being purged because they are the premiers, we're now seeing a situation where there's a lot of injuries for early on in the season, and I think it's going to end up in us seeing more of these high-scoring games.
Agreed, yeah. I think the injury toll is another big reason why we're seeing, you're right, these high-scoring games, because a lot of the players who are coming in are new to first grade or haven't got that many reps, and, you know, it's just that there's a lack of skill and veteran leadership that is happening in these teams.
Yeah.
We'll continue with how bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to shout out the Roosters' first 40 minutes for how bad.
Yeah.
Especially the first 20 minutes, probably one of the most disgraceful 20 minutes of football that I have ever seen from my club. This was all before Dom Young got sent off. We conceded 18 points before he got sent off. Went to halftime 26-0 down. It all started from the very first play where Dom Young made a hit up, knocked the ball on, challenged it, and we lost the challenge in the first minute of the game. He had an absolute shocker. I read, I think, one of our friends, Jack Valianos, messaged me saying in the second half, the Bulldogs actually probably want Dom Young to come back on the field because he was just having such a poor game. But yeah, just a disgusting first half of football from the Roosters. No effort, no intensity, nothing. And it's all too common at the moment, actually. We have this big forward pack, we have these big name players, and our middles just seem to be getting overpowered at the start of these games. Same thing happened to Penrith, same thing happened to Manly.
Yeah. You know, a lot of talk. You do have an incredible, a great distractor as a coach in terms of coming out to a post-match press conference and finding something to distract. He has learned from Wayne Bennett, the master, in that sense. But really, Mike, the fact that Canterbury were 18-0 up and making huge meters, like Kikau, I think so much was said about how Kikau, you know, and the Tedesco tackle, but he was charging and they were finding so much space and room to move. I loved every second of it. It was fantastic rugby league to see the Roosters in that position. But I genuinely think that the Roosters are not in that upper echelon of team.
But I think there's only one team in that upper echelon at the moment, and it's Penrith.
Yeah, yeah.
We might not be in the second tier, though, is what I think you're saying.
And it is what I'm saying. It is what I'm saying, that just the roster is not doing enough, and probably hasn't for a few years. Injuries, there are injuries, but everyone has injuries. But I feel like this team, this back line is quite star-studded, and it's a decent forward pack. And when you pull it together, you can pull it together. But you've played a Manly side at Brookvale, where you both came out of Vegas. Penrith just walloped you without Cleary. And then even this Canterbury team that, you know, no one's really sort of writing home about, but I think they're actually better than people are giving them credit for. They exposed you. And I almost think that there was an element of you guys were down and so you thought you better step up, and which does tend to happen when teams have a player sent off. But there was also potentially Canterbury just being like, holy crap, we're in front 26-0 for the first time in what, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. What do we do? And there was an element of like, let's just switch off because we're up by this much and the Roosters are down to 12 and at one point 11.
Yeah, just a terrible performance. Luke Keary was in the press conference. He straight up said we were terrible. Like, had no good things to say about the game, despite almost making a comeback. Everyone knew that, despite almost getting the win, it was a bad performance by the Roosters. And I hope that, you know, we're going to be very thin against the Knights. We'll touch on that, but not a great sign. And it's, you know, Luke Keary probably had his best half of football in 3 years.
Yes, yes.
It took both halves going down for him to actually step up and actually think, oh, now I have to do something. We need that every week. Yeah, not just when it's just him.
What do you put that down to, Mike, that Walker went off and Keary steps up?
I don't know. I think that going forward, our halves combination should be Sam Walker and Sandon Smith.
Yeah,
I'll put that on record. I think that's where we need to go. I don't know how long it takes for us to get there, but that's where we need to go to be a successful team. So, yeah. One more thing I want to touch on the how bad the Dally M medals, Andrew Voss, Monday morning. The NRL wrap comes out, round wrap-up comes out, and everyone's scrolling through. They get to the very end, and they see in a defeated team that lost 41-8, Dylan Brown manages to scrap one Dally M point. And there is no accountability. No one knows who these voters are. No one knows if they're at the game. No one knows if they're even watching the game. But something needs to change for this medal to have any sort of credibility, because at the moment it's an absolute farce. Everyone knows it. Everyone's writing about it. Everyone's saying it. And the NRL needs to do something to change it.
It just makes the whole thing look like a complete waste of time, doesn't it? But 100%, you're right. There's no accountability. And maybe the solution to this is that you just put all the points behind the black wall, and rather than waiting until, what is it, round 13, where it happens at the moment, just hide them all from the beginning of the season, do it like the AFL does, and they have a longer awards night and we deal with it then. Because at the moment, it is just insanity that everyone is watching the same game, but some mysterious judge from somewhere decides that Dylan Brown somehow gets points for what happened on the weekend.
It's a very easy, there's a very easy fix. One, the voter has to be at the game. If you're going to have these two voters, each of the two voters have to be at the game and present and watching, right? Very easy fix. Two, make them accountable. They're going to make bad decisions. Everyone knows they're doing it and they're going to get called out for it. Make them accountable. They used to, but when they went to this two-voter system last year, they took the names away. It made no sense.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the refs giving the points?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because they're probably going to be the most impartial, I'd hope. I don't know.
The AFL voting for their Brownlow medal is actually done by the on-field umpires.
Yeah, I think they're the ones who have the most feel for the game and who's performing and who's not. I don't see why they don't do it.
Yeah. No, I think that's the way to go, and it's something the game definitely needs to think about.
It also takes out favoritism, because half these voters are assigned to clubs and work for clubs and are ambassadors for clubs.
Yeah, which is why I hate the idea of the media sort of saying it should be someone in the commentary box. Well, no, absolutely not. Because South don't have anyone in the commentary box.
Also, Fox Sports don't actually send their commentators to the game anyway. So what defeats the purpose of what Andrew Voss is saying?
Yeah, that's very good analysis. Yes.
Let's get into how good.
How good?
Let's get some positivity in.
Michael, how good is rugby league when it's played well? I loved what I saw out of the Dolphins and the Tigers the other night. Just very expansive footy. There was speed. They threw the ball around. Tries scored from passes. There was hard tackles. There was Kafusi running like he's never run in his life. The hammer. How fast is the hammer?
Very, very fast. Great to see him in open field. Obviously found a home at fullback at that club. Look, love expansive football. We saw it, you mentioned it before, the Broncos-Melbourne game. Some great expansive football as well. Just very happy to see. The Dolphins, top of the table after 5 weeks into the competition. Going great underway. They had that obviously that first week, they were atrocious, but then ever since then, they look pretty unbeatable at the moment. They're defending well, they're attacking well, and good signs up at Redcliffe.
Yeah, and you know, everyone's knocking them because of who they play, but wins are wins. And, you know, they're going to face a bit of a challenge now with their injuries, which they did last year as well, but I think they're in a slightly better position this year. They've got a bit more experience. And
a bit more depth as well.
A bit more depth. And I think that the players will take confidence from these early victories.
Yeah, another team. Look, I was hesitant to talk about them last week, and I said, let's see what they do against Penrith.
Yes.
And they ended up walloping Penrith.
Yeah, well, it's not so much what Manly did. It's more what the video referee did. They brought in a new rule that a knock on is now a knock back if you're at Manly. And it's 300th game for Daly Cherry Evans. And the game's being played at Four Pines Park. You knock the ball forward, that's a knock back.
116 years, that's been a knock-on until it's Daly Cherry Evans at Brookvale in his 300th game. And
310th, actually, but yeah.
310th,
my bad. Yeah. But yeah, look, not to take anything away from Manly, I think they were the better team. I am not 100% sold on them yet. They haven't won away. They've got a very big game this weekend against the Warriors, which we will preview. But they need to sort of take their show, you know, around the country and really show everyone what they're made of. But if they can pull it together, they could be there.
This is the thing. We need to see consistency because they were excellent this week, but the week before against the Dragons, that was one of the worst games of football that we've seen this year from both teams, and they were the worst side in that game. So we've seen excellent from them, and we've seen very, very bad from them. So we just need some consistency out of Manly at the moment.
That's it.
And they have won away from home. They won in America, but it was a home game. Do want to clarify that. I don't know if you remember that one or not, or tried to wipe it from your memory.
Yeah, well, it's still their home game.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into tips for round, what are we, six?
Round six. Season's moving on. Big game on Thursday night for Newcastle, Michael. They are about to go on a bit of a patch of games that I think they could win and could really galvanise their season. Their draw gets a touch softer from here. So just to read Newcastle's next few games. So they have the Roosters this week and then... Sorry, give me one sec. So they got the Roosters.
Then they're versus...
Roosters, Titans, Dogs, Dolphins, Warriors, Tigers, Titans, and then the bye. So they could potentially have about, you know, 12 points in the bag before they play Canterbury again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to discredit Canterbury or the Tigers or the others, but, you know, just based on where things are at and the talent, that it's something they could do. So big game on Thursday night. So Adam O'Brien has not made any changes to the team that beat the Dragons. Greg Marzu is getting closer to returning from a wrist injury, and he's been named in the extended squad. For the Roosters, bit of movement here. So Teddy and Sam Walker are both out, having suffered Category 1 head knocks last week. Joey Manu will play fullback. Luke Keary is the new halfback, while Connor Watson will make his first start of the season in the number 6 jersey. Michael Jennings will play his 300th game. It won't be celebrated. We won't discuss that. Punga is on the wing as the Roosters fill the void of the suspended Dom Young. And hooker Zach Docker-Clay is set to make his debut, named on the bench. Nat Butcher is back in the side and he'll start in the second row.
Disappointing not to see Dom Young versus his old team. Probably would have gained a few supporters over the weekend, despite knocking out Blake Taff. The vision of him walking off with his shirt completely ripped open would have got a few people hot under the collar. But I am tipping the Knights to win this game up at Newcastle. Another how good that I forgot to mention, kicking in the rain.
Yeah. The rain generally.
I love watching a ball just pull up in the in goal and not move and not bounce at all. One of my favorite things to watch teams utilize that skill. The Dragons did not. The Knights did. Seems like they've settled on these halves combination of Cogger and Hastings, with basically the exciting playmaker out of the back being Kalen Ponga, and I think it worked. Jack Cogger was fantastic. I was worried about how long it would take them to get to this combination. They've settled on it after 5 weeks, and I think it'll be their calves combination, barring injury, going forward.
Yeah. I am with you on that one. The early game on Friday, the Storm host the Bulldogs at Amy Park. Last year, Canterbury won this corresponding game. If I recall correctly, Nick Simeo nearly had a heart attack.
Yes, they did. It was like 34-6 or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, so Bellamy's made a single change with Tepai Moroa onto the bench in place of Jack Howarth. Big Nelson has been listed on the extended bench and could be a late inclusion, although if they're worried about his discipline, he was sin-binned in New South Wales Cup last week. And for Canterbury, Stephen Crichton will play fullback for Blake Taff, who suffered that nasty injury against the Roosters. Karaz is in the centres. Ado Carr returns to the wing. Kurt Mann has been ruled out. Jamin Salmon starts in 13. Josh Curran in the back row. Bailey Hayward has been named to make his NRL debut. And Famasuli also joins the bench due to Harrison's neck injury. Unlucky for Blake Taff. He was looking really good in that number one spot last week. Scored a beautiful early try.
Yeah. Let's see how Stephen Crichton goes at the back there. Tough test against Melbourne in Melbourne. Despite the result last year, and despite I'm agreeing with you that the Bulldogs have been a little bit underrated this year, I think their defence has been quite solid. I am going to tip Melbourne with basically a full-strength side coming back into the squad. So, yeah, Melbourne.
Yeah.
Nelson back, that'll really help.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be easy for Melbourne in this one, to be honest. I think
Canberra. No, I don't think it'll be an easy win. But, no. I think Melbourne get it done still.
Yeah.
Questions about their defence. Questions about Melbourne's defence. Great week one, 8-0 against Penrith, and then they've just leaked a lot of points since.
Yeah. Okay, Friday night, late game, the Battle of Brisbane. Broncos hosting the Dolphins at Suncorp Stadium. Reece Walsh returns earlier than anticipated after that injury against Penrith in round 3. So Tristan Saylor will come off the bench in number 17. Jock Madden is halfback with Reynolds out for a stint on the sideline with a hamstring. Dane Mariner is out with a back injury. And Corey Oates is back in the starting lineup. He'll be playing wing after coming off the bench as a reserve forward of late. And in a big boost, Xavier Wilson is back in the side after recovering from a head knock. And he was one of Brisbane's best in the loss to Penrith. And Takura is the player that makes way. And for the Dolphins, Flegler is set to play despite failing to finish last week with a shoulder injury. Herbie Farnworth's shoulder injury is more serious, meaning he'll miss a few weeks. Tessie News' place Tessie New will take his place in the centres. Kaufusi had a hamstring injury and he'll be replaced by Kenny Bromwich in the starting lineup, and Jared Wallace is the new face on the bench. Milford replaces Kurt Donoghue, who is suspended. Good game, this one.
No Reynolds, no Haas. Wayne Bennett against the team that he helped found.
Yeah.
Dolphins over Broncos.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Yeah. It's a big one for Brisbane season as well, I think.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about Brisbane. I think that they'll be there. They've just did a lot of injuries to start. This Adam Reynolds in one week, out the next. Bit concerning, considering how important he is to them. You saw what he did against the Cowboys. But, yeah, I think once they're going to start getting healthy and getting troops back, and it'll make their job a bit easier.
Yeah. And the thing for Brisbane is they just need to bank as many wins before Origin as they can. Anyway, see how they go. But I think the Dolphins are primed for an upset in that one. Okay, the first game on Saturday, the Warriors host Manly. This is the one we alluded to. Michael, Warriors are going to win the comp.
It's not a bad take.
Not a bad take. Dallin Watene-Zalesniak is back from a hamstring injury. Pompey drops out of the side. Catewell returns and will start in the second row. And Barnett shifts to prop. And for Manly, Ben Trbojevic will start at centre for Garrick, who's been stood down for 11 days under concussion protocols. And Corey Waddell will start on the left edge. This Warriors team is looking good. They've only conceded 38 points this year. It's always been the thing for the Warriors. They just haven't had that defensive resolve. They've conceded 72 points, but it's the equal lowest in the comp. They've always lacked defensive resolve, but they've always had the talent. I think this year, a team that's struggling to fit in Roger Tuivasa-Sheck in his position of fullback is a team that is to watch. Wade Egan doing a great job in hooker. I just think that they've got a really good balance in their squad, and that they're going to be there at the back end of the year.
Like you said, they can win the comp. There's this big team at the foot of the mountains that will have something to say about that. But for me, they have been, despite what the ladder says, the second best team in the competition this year. They are, for me, probably the odds-on favourite to challenge Penrith the most. And there's a reason why. It's the fact that Andrew Webster is an incredible coach from the Penrith system. You can see a lot of the foundations that he's set up that follow through from Penrith, and the culture that he's built there, the backing that this team has. Going over there to play is formidable. Not just because of time difference and it's cold and everything, but that home crowd is outstanding. And, Warriors for me over Manly. This team is, I agree with you, they are a serious, serious contender.
Yeah. Okay. Parramatta hosts the Cowboys on Saturday at 5:30. After dropping their last two, Parra have made a raft of changes. So Sivo has been dropped. Morgan Harper replaces him. Bailey Simonson shifts to the wing. Arcee will replace Blaise Talungi at 5'8". And Talungi has failed to deliver in the number 6 jersey and has been dropped as a result. Bryce Cartwright is back from a rib injury. He will start with Kelma Tuilagi to come off the Pine, and Greig is the other player to lose his spot in the 17. For the Cowboys, Zach Laybutt unfortunately suffered an ACL against the Titans and is out for the season. Tom Chester has been chosen to replace him.
Not a Cowboys defense still didn't really show me too much this week. 22 points against the Tigers.
Titans, yeah.
Jeez. Sorry, total 22 points against the Titans. I think this week, no Moses. I hate that Blaise Talungi's been dropped. He's playing out of position at number six. Dylan Brown has not done a he hasn't been a halfback really. He's not a halfback. He's a 5'8". And then you've thrown this kid in under two first grade games into a position that he doesn't play, and now you drop him. Don't like that decision. You've got the New South Wales under-19s half on your roster, but you decided not to put him in your top 30, even though you know that Mitchell Moses goes down every single year for a period of time. Ridiculous decision by Brad Arthur and the Eels. I think Brad Arthur is an incredible developer of players. He does not seem to get their rotations and X's and O's at times. I'm going to tip the Cowboys.
Interesting. Okay, Saturday night, South Sydney host Cronulla at Coors Stadium for Souths. Jai Gray has been named to make his NRL debut, wearing the number one in place of Latrell, who's been suspended for three games. Pete Mamazelos has been named at number nine, with Cook dropping out of the side to 18th man. Tyrone Munro replaces Isaac Thompson, who is returning from a collarbone injury. Talis Duncan, Sean Kepi shifted to the bench. Shaq Mitchell, Havili, Davey Mo'ali named on the pine. Davey Mo'ali, Mike, ran 270 metres last week in New South Wales Cup. For the Sharks, Nakora returns. Talakai shifts to the bench. Kale Iroh keeps his spot in the starting side. Braden Hamlin-Ueli has been named in the extended bench and could be a late inclusion.
Well, we don't want to talk about South Sydney.
Who are you tipping?
Cronulla.
Yeah. Okay. All good. Yeah. I'm very excited that Mamazelis is getting a run, though.
So, completely out of the team?
Well,
was he the one player you would have dropped?
No. It's hard to drop a suspended player, though.
No, not the question, not the person I was asking about. But anyway.
No. Yes. No. Okay. Okay, Tigers, Dragons. Won't this be a cracker? Campbelltown on Sunday afternoon. Alex Saifoff replaces Bateman, who's been sidelined due to concussion. Fainu has been given the same fate. Samuela, that is. So Latu, his brother, comes in. His brother Latu's been admitted due to a hamstring injury. Kapoa, Matamua, and Simkin have been named on the bench. For the Dragons, Michael Molo has dropped out. DeBellin shifts to the bench. And Sele returns from a calf injury. Blake Laurie's been named on the pine. And Jack Bird has been named to start in the centres despite the knee injury last week. The other one I don't think we mentioned. What about Zach Lomax, Mike? Can pass.
Behind his back, yes.
Yeah.
In front, don't know. But one big thing that did happen in that Knights Dragons game was at halftime, Zach Lomax went to fullback. Tyrell Sloan got kicked to the wing just purely because there was just points in the game where Tyrell Sloan did not want to put in the effort to stop a try. Literally did not move fast enough, did not put in the effort in big points of the game, and Flanagan gave him the hook. Obviously couldn't pull him off the field because they didn't have a back on the field, but move Lomax to fullback. He was clearly the best player on the field for the Dragons, despite not wanting to be there. There was rumours that Lomax would get named at fullback this week. Sloan got named. Can't see Jack Bird playing. Blake Laurie, at one point last week, had three runs for a total of 6 metres. Even despite saying at the start of the year he wanted to play Origin, going to do a lot better than that to get into Madge McGuire's team. Jeez, this one's tough. If Lockie Galvin was playing, I would tip the Tigers. And I'm still going to.
Nice. Boom. Okay, last game of the round. Raiders, Titans, GAO Stadium, 6:15 Sunday night. Rappan has been sidelined due to a knee injury, so Ricky Stewart names Chevy Stewart at fullback. Mariota has been shifted to the bench due to the return of Hosking. Corey Horsburgh has been sidelined with a groin injury. Mooney's been named to make his first appearance. And Sasungi has been omitted from the bench. For the Titans, Foran's been named despite leaving the field last week. Isaac Liu joins the bench after being sidelined due to concussion, and Simpson makes way. The Titans be pretty happy with the way they ended that game, I think.
Yeah, look, they were a little better, managed to get some points on the board. They looked, Jaden Campbell had a pretty good game. David Fifita looked good, but the Raiders in Canberra looked pretty formidable. Ethan Strange looking better and better each week in that number six jersey. He's not getting asked to do too much playmaking wise, just running hard, making the right plays here and there. Matt Tomoko has probably been the informed center of the competition to start this season. I'm going to go Canberra.
Yeah. So Michael's tips are Newcastle over the Roosters on Thursday, Storm to beat the Bulldogs on Friday in the early game, Broncos to win the Battle of Brisbane on Friday night.
No, Dolphins. Dolphins to win that game.
Dolphins.
Dolphins. Wayne to get up.
Wayne to get up. Warriors over Manly, Cowboys to beat the Eels at Combank, Sharks over Souths, Tigers over the Dragons,
yep,
and the Raiders to win another one in Canberra against the Titans. The Penrith Panthers have the bye.
A much needed bye. No Liam Hendry injured. Sorensen still under an injury cloud. Nathan Cleary should be back after the bye. I think Jerome Luai had an injury at the end of the game as well. So, war of attrition for this team at the moment, but a bye and a very fortunate time.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. We will leave you there. As always, please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. And one last thing, Emmanuel, how good is rugby league?
How good is rugby league?
Thanks, guys.